Good to see some of you. So happy to have you guys here with us. Listen, I hope your Thanksgiving went well. Listen, I know it was different, but it was something. Can I get an amen? I know it was different, but it was something, and I'm thankful to have a Thanksgiving with my family. Hopefully, you guys had a good one as well. I want to say welcome to all of those who are watching online. We got kicked off Facebook last service, but it's all right. The devil was trying to get into our service, but God got us on this one. Welcome to everybody on Facebook. Welcome to everybody that's on Church Online, and also those who are listening in from the parking lot. And also, thank you guys for being here as well. Even with all the chaos, we still get to worship a perfect God. Things aren't perfect, but we get to worship one who is perfect. Can I get an amen on that one? So we're actually going to be continuing a series that we started a few weeks ago. And the series is titled Choose Life. And in this series, we've been talking about our decisions. One thing that God has gifted you with is the ability to make decisions. And the one thing we have to realize about our decisions is that they impact so many things. They impact us, of course, but they impact the people around us as well. So we're going to be talking about that, of decisions. And I want to warn you, before I get into today's message will be deep. It will open some doors you haven't and you don't want to open today. It would open up some doors. It would bring up some memories you're not too happy about. And what the whole goal of what we're trying to do today is to challenge you, but also to convict you. Because conviction is a good thing. Convicting us, asking God to get us from where we are to where we need to be. Because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of us that are in this room, or maybe even watching online right now, or listening in the parking lot. We're in a spot where we are now, but God wants to get you to where you actually need to be. Today, the topic today is we're going to talk about how we respond when somebody hurts you. What to do, how to respond, and how to heal when someone hurts you. We're going to be studying out of a passage, Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, who brought their Bibles with them today? Raise your hands. Who brought their Bibles? Bible with pages. You're going to heaven. Who else is going to heaven? You're going to heaven. I'm not talking about a phone. No, that don't work. Jesus don't got an iPhone. You just got booked with pages. We're going to be opening up to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. We're going to be studying this, and the goal is for us to get to a place of healing. Because there are some of us that need to be healed today. There are some of us that need to get to that spot, and I believe that this passage, God wants us to study this, to allow this to be a part of our everyday lives, to memorize this verse, and to also live this verse out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let me go ahead and read it. It says this, let all bitterness, we're going to be heavy on that word bitterness today, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, slander be removed from you. Now, some of your Bibles may say put away. In the same way, it means the same thing. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander be removed from you along with all malice. Verse 32 is our home run, how we're going to end today. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving. You got your Bibles with you. Circle that word, forgiving. Yes, we're going to go there today. Forgiving one another just as God has forgiven you in Christ. The whole point of my message today is to do this. For us to choose a relational life, we need to let go of certain things so that God can be at work in each and every one of us. Because there's one thing that Jesus promises us in this world, and he promises us that we're going to be hurt. He reminds us, hey, look, you're going to be hurt. Many offenses are going to come, he says, because he himself took on offenses as well. And if Jesus was offended, what makes you think you won't be? What makes you think you won't be? Jesus tells us that, but I want to help you to understand that relational healing begins with spiritual transformation. See, to heal, it doesn't rest on if someone changes, but if you. To be restored and to be renewed, it's not about what somebody else does, but it's about what you need to do. To be restored to our relationships, to our mothers, to our fathers, to our brothers and our sisters, we need to do this one thing, change. We can't change what happened to us, but we can ask God to change our hearts. We can ask God to do something that only he can do, which is to actually change our hearts. Because the quality of your relationships, one thing that you and I need to understand is God created us to be in fellowship. God created us to be in relationships, whether the people that live with you or the people that work with you, whether you're married or you're dating or you're engaged, it doesn't matter where you are. God created each and every one of us to have relationships. And the quality of our relationships depends on your quality of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have a healthy relationship with others if you don't have a healthy relationship with Christ. Today, I want to help you to get to that place. Today, I want to talk about what it looks like to get from where we are to where we actually need to be. Will you bow your heads with me as I pray? Father, thank you that we're here. But I know today is going to be a challenging day. I know there are going to be some people who are going to be convicted and hurt because they're rehearsing and remembering the past. But God, you tell us that we'll never be able to live unless we die to our past. Unless we do this one thing, release. So I pray for those married couples, those who are dating, parents, children, siblings. I pray that this message would convict their heart and the eyes of their heart would be enlightened and they would see real transformation in a serious way and they would be able to get to the place of forgiveness where they ought to be today. Because God, we know there are some hurting people watching online, listening from the parking lot, and in this room today. Would you please guide us in this message? Let your spirit be upon us, lead us, and help us to be, get us to where we need to be. In Jesus' name is who I pray. Amen. Well, it's ironic, isn't it? This series, we're discussing decisions. We're talking about our choices. Truth of the matter is, we all have been wounded by someone or somebody or people because of their choices, because of their decisions. It reminds me of a time when at my former employer, I was at a job and I was up for a management position. Of course, when you're up for a management position, that means so many things work in your favor. You get more salary, you get your own office, you get a title, and then my favorite, you get your own parking spot. Oh, I was excited for that. I was gonna pull my Ford Fusion right up in there. And at the time, I had this manager that was grooming me, and that was helping me, and that was depositing into my spirit. He wasn't just my manager. He was my brother. We didn't just talk at work. We talked outside of work. We communicated, and he always helped me and encouraged me and inspired me. And one thing he told me was, hey, man, that spot, that position, you're going to get it, bro. We're going to have an office right next to each other. We're going to play games on our phones. We're going to be texting each other from right next door. It's going to be amazing. And I trusted him. I believed him. Then one day after I clocked in, I saw that office was had somebody in there. Somebody's stuff was all set up. Computer was out. That position had been filled. And here's the crazy part. Nobody ever told me. Nobody ever told me. I felt betrayed. I felt lied to. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had that feeling before in your life? You felt betrayed? You trusted somebody? They promised they wouldn't do something? They promised that they would do something, but they fell short. And they lied to you. Or maybe they lied about you. They took something from you. And next thing you know, you're hurt. You're hurt. And what happens is that hurt, what it does, it gets to a place where you feel angry. You're full of anger. You're full of pain. And here's the thing about pain. What it does, it distances us from people. When people hurt us, we want to stay away from them. I've been telling people, we've been socially distancing before COVID. Because of the pain that we have gone through, because of the moments that we have experienced, because of the people that have hurt us, the people that have taken things from us, people have manipulated us into thinking one thing, and we worked our tails off to get this, and the next you know, we fell short. The next you know, We're stuck in a place of pain. And here's the thing also about pain and the suffering and the pain and the wound that people cause in our lives. It causes suffering. Because here's the thing. There's one thing when we experience the pain in the moment, but little do we know that when people hurt us, it causes a ripple effect. And that's this thing called suffering. You're suffering mentally. You're suffering emotionally. You're suffering sexually. You're suffering relationally. Because of someone else's decisions, it's become your consequence. It's become your consequence. And nothing pains us even more. There's one thing about, if you hurt me, listen, I'm a big boy, all right? I lift weights. I'm good. I can get over some things that people do to me. I understand that. But if you hurt somebody that I love, oh, we got a whole nother story. It reminded me of a time there was a teacher that I was quite fond of when I was in high school. And this teacher, what's interesting is this teacher was just like my manager. He deposited in me. He encouraged me. I looked up to him. He was not just a teacher. I counted him as like a big brother, almost like a father figure that I much needed in my life. And I trusted this person. Come to find out that this teacher was inappropriate with some students. And I happened to be very close with one of those students. And I was hurt. I hated him. I hated him for what he did. And I defined who he was because of what he did. Because that's typically what happens when you get to a place of hate. You start to define people by their worst. That's just who we are as a society. We define people by their worst, and we allow what they did to define who they actually are. And before you know it, all this anger and all this animosity and all this hate, everything that is building up on the inside, it gets to a place where you're holding a grudge. Before you know it, before you even realize it, you're holding a grudge. Somebody once told me, holding on to a grudge does more damage to you than the hurt that was actually done to you. I was like, oh, okay. That hit me. Holding on to what happened to you does more damage than what actually happened to you. But that's where we are. But here's the thing about today's message. Today's message is to help us to understand this one truth, that we will experience some of the best things when we go through some of the worst things. Today, we will experience that we can't change the moment, but we can trust God with our destiny. We can't change what somebody else did. We can't change the hurt, but we can trust God in this process, in this place where we actually need to get to and where we need to be, only if we are willing to submit to give in and say, God, you take the wheel. Because some of us are wasting our lives holding a grudge. Some of us are wasting our lives, wasting our marriages, wasting our relationships, holding on to what somebody did to us. We can't avoid how somebody hurt us, but we can choose how we're going to trust God to help us to respond and to heal from the hurt that we've experienced. You can't change the event, but you can trust God with your destiny. You can't change the event. We can't be God and go back. I think some of us want to, but we don't get that opportunity. But we trust God to change the trajectory of our lives. That's why we're studying in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's open it back up. It's going to help us to take the process to get to a real state of relational healing, because relational healing happens, restoration happens, not when someone changes, but when you change. And the Apostle Paul is going to help us, guide us through this message about what we are to do, how we are to respond when people hurt you, cut you, and they leave you in a state of bleeding. But how many of us know that wounds, trusting in God, become scars? And scars tell stories. Scars tell stories. I one time had a student notice a cut above my eye. It was real interesting. This is before we can all be close with one another. And he noticed this cut above my eye. He said, hey, man, how did you get that cut? And I told him the story about how before it became a scar, it was a wound. Remember this, Mom? It was a gash. One day I was trying to be Tiger Woods. And next you know, the golf club hit me in my face. and it was bleeding and I had so much pain, but it didn't stay a wound, it became a scar. And that scar told a story. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. We're going to start in verse 31. Again, if you got your Bibles, bring it out for us. We're going to get right into verse 31. It says this. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church. What he does in every single letter, he always starts by giving us theology, by giving us knowledge. That's one thing we have to understand as Christians. We're called to build in our understanding, build in our knowledge. He goes on and he talks about the work of God in Christ, what God in Jesus has done for you and I. But now we're at a place in our passage where he's going to talk about the work of God in Christ living through you. Because it's not enough for us just to know things about God. We have to start to live like we know God. Because Jesus says, blessed are those who hear, but also blessed are those who do. Not just to be hearers, but we are also doers of the word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Paul is going to talk about relationships. One thing you and I struggle with, and we're always probably going to struggle with, the one thing that we're going to always probably be in the middle of is conflict and pain, and it comes from our relationships. He says this, verse 31, let all, if you got your pens with you, those who have their Bibles and going to heaven, there you go. Let all, circle the word all. He doesn't say some. He doesn't say a few. He says, let all that bitterness, we're going to go heavy on the word bitterness today. He says, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, and shouting. Some of your translations say clamor, but again, we don't use that word. Shouting and slander be removed from you along with all malice. You have to read verse 31 kind of as one whole passage because really there's a reason why Paul starts with bitterness because of the effect that it takes, the effect that it has. When you let bitterness in, godliness ends. When you let bitterness sit and manifest and stay within, so many things happen. Bitter people become angry. And then that anger that's manifesting inside, they start to live that out. This word wrath means to be violent, to be aggressive towards people. And then next you know, we start to shout. This word shouting means to get other people to notice you because of the hurt that you're going through. You just want to be noticed. You just want to be recognized. And you'll do anything to get to other people's attention. But you do it in a nonsensical way. And it's word shouting. And then he talks about slander. And he says it also talks about malice. But before you get to malice, it begins with bitterness. Bitterness, if we can best describe it, it means it's a resentful spirit that is, listen to this, refusing to be reconciled with the person. You refuse because resentment or bitterness is a decision. Even when somebody confesses, even when somebody says, I'm sorry, you're still holding it against them. You're still putting up a barrier in front of them. It is you deciding not to let go. And what happens is when you don't let go, when you don't confront the bitterness, destruction follows. When you don't confront the grudge that you have, so many other things happen. You start to have the wrong emotions. And if we can never manage our wrong emotions, we're never going to have the right desires. We're never going to be able to live out the right desires because bitterness has caused a trajectory of the wrong emotions. The bitterness is us not completely getting over. And bitterness is a state where it begins to control everything about you. Again, your emotions, now your attitude and your habits. It's you holding on to the offense. Somebody once told me that people who hold on to offense long enough eventually become the offender. People who hold on to the offense long enough, you become the offender. Because the bitterness is doing more damage to you. It's destroying you. It's defiling you. It's bringing you down. That the grudge that you are holding onto, it is ruining you in that process. One of my favorite pastors, Jeremy Hughes, he talks about this. He had an article that he wrote, and he wrote it to his church because the Bible talks about bitterness quite a bit, right? God knows who's going to hurt you when they hurt you. God knows those things. And God talks about what we are to do when bitterness happens, how we are to react. And this pastor went on, and he talked about a couple things, what we are to do so that we can avoid a lifestyle of bitterness. The pollution of bitterness. He gave 12 examples. I'm only going to give three. I don't have all day to give you 12. So I'm just going to give you three of these things. If you want the article, just go search it on your own. But three things that really stuck out to me. This is what he says. Number one, bitter people always have trust issues. What happens is when you've been hurt, or when somebody has hurt you multiple times, or when you've been hurt by multiple people, you do this. You go into defense mode. You do this. You create a wall. And you're thinking that this wall is going to protect you. You're thinking that this wall is going to keep others from hurting you. Really, he talks about in his article, creating a wall or creating a stumbling block only does two things. Number one, it keeps people from coming in your life to love you, to care for you, to nurture you, to actually get you to where you need to be, to remind you who you are in Christ Jesus. But because we have this wall, they can never get in. Because little do you know, God sends people into our lives to help us get us to a place of restoration. I don't know about you, but because of the pain that my father caused me, it's left me in a place where I've had a lot of trust issues. I couldn't trust men. Couldn't trust men, which is why I clinged on to my mother so much. Because of the experience, because of the pain. And all people wanted to do was to love me and to care for me, but because I had this wall. And not only does this wall keep people out, it actually keeps you more lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. Because studies prove and studies show that people who have anxiety, people who are lonely, and people who are depressed, it's linked to bitterness. It's linked to bitterness. If that's you today, if you're that person that struggles with anxiety, ask yourself, God, do I have something against someone? And if I do, help me to check it. If you're the person that's lonely and you stay up all night, ask yourself, God, am I the person that's holding something against this and that and boom and bam? What is it? Help me, show me so I can move on. Because bitter people can never trust people. Number two, he says this. This one really stuck out. Bitter people, people who hold a grudge, can never make room for the grace of God. Why is that? Because they're so full of hate. Because they're so full of anger. And that hate and that anger have become their identity. And that's just who they are. It's their natural response to everything. People are, and another thing that I've noticed is that most of my anger that I pour into my wife is because of the anger that I've gone through in my life. My wife doesn't do anything, but because of what I went through, because of how bitter I am, because I'm unwilling to let go, what she's getting is what somebody did. I can't make room for God's grace, for God's joy, for contentment, for peace, because I'm so full of hate and anger, like Paul talks about. I wish evil on people. I can never be happy for that person. Every time that person comes up in my mind, I think evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. I want that person to hurt like I hurt. I want that person to go through the worst. Also, number three, he says this. Bitter people give the evil one, the devil, access to their homes. This is a very interesting point. What he means by this is, one thing you have to understand is, as much as you have a God that is for you, you have to know there is someone against you. You have a God that is for you, that is leading you to triumph. And we have that triumph in Christ Jesus. But little do you understand, there is what we call the adversary, the evil one, the devil, and his job is to distract you and keep you from healing and restoring and getting to the place you need to be. And how does he do that? Through offenses. The Bible talks about that the devil, he walks around, prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour its prey. He doesn't just come and with the big show. He comes in small offenses. If he can keep you from forgiving your dad, he can keep you from living your life. If he can keep you from forgiving your brother, your spouse, your ex, he divides. And what happens is that starts to become an effect onto your family, because not only do you think your brokenness and your unwillingness to forgive and to let go has an effect on you, it has an effect on the people around you too. And now your children will now imitate what you do. And now it has become a generational thing because of the unwillingness to forgive. Parents, your children are watching you today. What you do today will determine what they do tomorrow. How you choose to treat your spouse, how you choose to treat your brothers and your sisters and people that hurt you, they look at that. Which is one of the reasons why I'm going to tell my son, son, I'm broken. Daddy's messed up. Don't hold me onto a pedestal. That's why you need Christ Jesus in your life. I'm going to fail you, but there's one person that can never, ever fail you. Parents, I advise you, you do the same thing as well. Don't give the enemy backdoor access to your house. Don't give him backdoor access to your house so he can cause division and he can divide and keep you from getting to a place where you need to actually be. Anger and wrath and shouting and slander. This word slander is really interesting. It means blasphemia. You just learned Greek. You're welcome. Blasphemia. What does it sound like? Blasphemy. Yeah. One of the worst sins in the Bible. Jesus was charged with blasphemy. It means to speak falsely about someone. Sometimes what we say about people is worse than what they did to us. We become so angry and so upset and so bitter that we're telling other people's stories that aren't true. And the goal of slandering, the goal of it is that you're trying to ruin and to damage the other person's reputation. Paul says, remove it or put it away. This idea of the imagery of this, it's like when we say put off, it's like taking off a dirty shirt. You ever got back home from working out or you get back from your job? Probably the first thing you do when you get home is you change your clothes, right? You change your clothes and you take off the dirty clothes and you then put on the clean clothes. Unless you're in college, you put on another set of dirty clothes. Y'all didn't do that? Okay. You take off the dirty clothes and you put on a clean set of clothes. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. What happens is our old self would come off and then the new self, because Jesus came to make you new, not to make you better. And here's the thing about this putting off. Here's this thing about this being this removing and all these things. You can't do that on your own. This isn't a trust in you type of message. This isn't a try harder type of message. This is you need a savior type of message. You're not God. You're not an Avenger. You suck at being Captain America. You need a savior. Because if you trust in you, you're going to end with you. But if you trust in him, you end with life. You get life. We can't put off until he comes in. Which means we got to do three things, church, as I close. I want you to know these three things. Number one, we need to address our issues, our frustrations, our sin. Because I guarantee you, one of us, if not all of us, fit one of the categories in verse 31. You can't get to verse 32 on your own. You know that, right? You can't be kind and compassionate and forgiving. We don't want to do that. When people hurt, we want to do what? We want to hold it against them. We want them to hurt. Exactly. We want them to hurt. But we have to address the real issue. And the real issue isn't what somebody did, but what's going on in your heart. The real issue is not that somebody took your trust. Don't get me wrong. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that matter. The real issue is not what someone did, but what's going on inside of your heart. This addressing really is a form of confession. We confess to God. The Bible says this is a very great promise. The promise says that if we confess our sins to him, he who is faithful and just, what will he do? He will forgive us of our sins. We're going to talk about forgiveness in just a little bit. And he will do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The truth of the matter is somebody doesn't need to say, I'm sorry. You need to be cleansed. Because you may not ever get the I'm sorry. They might not ever confess to you. That teacher that I talked to you about, they continue to deny and deny and deny. And all the evidence pointed to that he was guilty. But I don't need to hear somebody sorry. I need to admit my need for a savior. I need a savior. Friends, the gospel is that you need a savior. That we need somebody to come in to rescue us, because the progress from pain is possible only when we address the necessary. And when we address our issues, that's when we can admit our need for a Savior. Because at the feet of Jesus is where my pain gets dealt with. At the feet of Jesus is where my pain gets dealt with. And we can never be delivered from bitterness until we address our issues and we admit our need for a Savior. When we do that, that's how we get to verse 32. That's how you get to verse 32. Point number three, you align with God's design of relationships. You align with God's design of relationships. Notice what Paul says, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you in Christ. These two words, kind and compassionate, you kind of have to see them together. And the best way to describe it in a short way, the short way to summarize it, it means to sympathize with the person that hurts you. It's the same compassion that Jesus had when a man with leprosy would walk up to him and say, if you are willing, make me clean. And the scripture tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion or moved with pity. And he says, I will. He had a deep concern for that person. He had a deep longing for that person. Because before you get to forgiveness, it must start with you being compassionate. You sympathize with your hurt, with the person that hurt you. You understand this, that the person that hurt you is broken. And here's the thing, broken people do broken things. And it creates brokenness. The evil somebody caused you is because of the brokenness that was done to them. I held my father as a horrible, horrible person for a very long time. I called him a bad dad. Little did I realize, he didn't have a dad to show him what it was like to be a dad. And I was holding it against him. That's what compassion means. It doesn't excuse what he did to me, but it helps give me perspective so I can be compassionate. The person that hurt you, they're hurting. They're bleeding themselves. Again, all of our pain and all of our hurt and all of our evil points to our need for a Savior. Points to our need for a God to show us, to manage us, and to move us to where we need to actually be. And when I take on compassion, that's when I get the place of forgiveness. Forgiveness is like a curse word in our world today. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to do the opposite. Everybody wants to stay in verse 31. I just want to hold. But Paul says, you got to forgive people. Because here's the one thing I want you to understand. Forgiveness is the place of freedom. It's the place of freedom. It's that place where you say to yourself, I'm no longer allowing what you did to me to dominate the way that I live. Forgiveness is getting your life back. You can't get back what they did, but you can trust God with what you need to do. Forgiveness is saying, I am no longer allowing the pain to dominate and to direct so many things in my life. I'm releasing what you did to me, not holding a grudge, being compassionate, understanding that you're broken. Forgiveness must be given. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, Javon, that's stupid. Because you don't understand how much that person hurt me. You don't understand what that person did to me. Do you know the amount of years that it took off my life, the suffering and the bleeding that I have gone through? How can you ask me to forgive? Here's one thing I want to tell you. I'm not asking you, or I'm not questioning how much forgiveness someone deserves. I'm asking how much freedom do you desire? I'm not asking you if you think you should forgive your dad. How much forgiveness does your dad deserve, or your parents, or your mom, or your dad, or your brothers or sisters, or whoever it may be? I'm asking you, how much freedom do you desire in your life? Because forgiveness, the unwillingness to forgive, when you are unwilling to forgive, it keeps you from living your life. Forgiveness is deciding, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm tired. I'm just tired. But I'm letting go with a compassionate heart, with a kind heart. I can deal with the anger. God says it's okay to be angry. You know that, right? Be angry, but do not sin. Our issue is that we remain in anger. But the point of healing starts with me being compassionate to a place of forgiving. Last but least, this forgiveness thing is hard. I get it. It's tough. Easier said than done, which is why point number two is important. Forgiveness takes faith. Forgiveness takes faith. Forgiveness is saying, I am trusting God that on the other side, there is something better than holding a grudge. Forgiveness is not trusting in yourself. Forgiveness is not saying, okay, if I forgive them, maybe they'll say sorry. No, 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 no. Forgiveness takes faith. You know what's easy? Because forgiveness is hard. I understand that. I get it. But you know what's easy? Holding a grudge. You know what's easy? Remembering and rehearsing all the evil that somebody did to you. You know what's easy? Allowing the devil to have another seed be put into your family. You know what's easy? Allowing yourself to be free because it's comfortable to hold, which is why it takes faith. Here's what I want you to understand today, church. Forgiveness is trusting God with someone's evil resulting for my good. Because what somebody meant for evil, God will use it for good. And that's what faith is. It's saying, God, I am clouded with anger and hate, and I am so upset, but I want to trust in you. I'm at my knees. I'm to the point where I can't do this on my own, but I'm trusting that on the other side, this will work out for my good. You know, I continue to tell you the story about me and my father. My father and I were separate and distant for 13 years. On again, off again relationship. Then I had a baby boy. That baby boy reconciled me back to my father. Because what was once evil, God turned it into good. I saw my son and God said, do you want that to happen with you and him? Do you want that? And I've never experienced so much freedom. A few weeks ago, my father and I finally were restored to one another. Because it takes faith. Now again, some of you are saying to yourself, Javon, this is hard. But in order for you to forgive, you have to remember how much you've been forgiven. Because we can never extend forgiveness unless we experience it first. You did not become a Christian on your own. You know that, right? You did not become a Christian because, I did not become a Christian, I should say, because I felt that I had purpose. No, I felt forgiven. For at once in my life, I felt that I don't have to perform. For at once in my life, I felt like I don't have to try to measure up. For at once in my life, I felt like I didn't have to be ashamed of the evil that I've caused on the people. Because just as much as I focus on other people's evil, I totally forget about my own evil. The thoughts that I had. God says, I forgive you. And here's the thing, friends. The cost of the Father to forgive us outweighs the cost that it takes for us to forgive others. Because it cost him his son. Only thing forgiveness costs us is our pride. See, here's the thing. If you're the person today and you're just like, Javon, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm hurting right now. I'm hurting. Jesus faced hostility so that you can stand before the Father forgiven. Jesus faced the worst moment so you can experience better. Jesus took on the worst moment, the worst pain, the greatest offense right there, And I can just imagine Jesus saying, it's fine, Father. We're getting our flock back. It's fine, Father. So they can stand before you forgiven, free, blameless, holy. And for me, to take on this is worth it so we can get them back. Remember how much you've been forgiven. Remember how much you've been forgiven. It makes it a lot more easier for you to forgive. Father, in the name of Jesus, our hearts are heavy right now. Our hearts are heavy. But you say that those who are heavy in burden, give it to you. So I give my hurt, my anger to you today. And I trust in you that on the other side, there's something better. Father, I'm praying for marriages today. I'm praying for spouses, for moms and dads. I'm praying for children and siblings. I'm praying for people who have a grudge against their coworkers, against the attacker, the abuser. I pray, God, that your spirit would enter inside of them so forgiveness can pour out of them. So that people can see the light of Jesus in the act of forgiveness. And maybe that light will become the light that needs to go off in their own life. Would you help us? Would you guide us? Would you get us to where we need to be? I trust in you. Give me faith. Give me faith. Increase my faith so I may trust in you. In Jesus' holy name is who I pray. Amen.
Welcome back, friends. Wow, what an amazing sermon by Jovan. Gosh, I hope you all were able to lean in on some of the difficult things that he had to say today, but man, what an amazing God that we have. Okay, next Saturday is our Lord's Supper service. Be there December 5th, 5 o'clock, whether you join us online or be here in person with us. We'd love for you to join us. And we have some exciting news. If you haven't already heard, our very own Paul T. Crocker, who is our pastor of our creative arts, he is moving on and he is building a church of his own. And he is going to be launching that in January. And we have some exciting news that we want to share with all of you next week. So I'm going to need you guys to tune back in, whether you tune in from home or you join us here in person. We can't wait to share the news with you. So we hope you have a blessed week and we appreciate you tuning in. Have a great week.